Christian Medical and Dental Associations hope you enjoy today's chapel message.
I want to kind of share something with you. I wasn't even sure earlier on in the week whether I'd even be able to speak in chapel. As long as you know, I lost my voice and couldn't preach last weekend. I had to call Gene last second and have him fill in for me last weekend. But I just started asking the Lord, like, what do you want to talk about? What do you want us to discuss today in chapel? And this topic came up through several confirmations as I was praying about it. And so I want to kind of share this little devotional thought with you today. Psalm 27, verse 14, it's a newer paraphrase, but it says, here's what I've learned through it all. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Be entwined as one with the Lord. Be brave and courageous and never lose hope. Yes, keep on waiting, for he will never disappoint you. And the main message is, don't give up. Well, we just started 2025, and there's a lot of things that we celebrate each month. There's a lot of big activities, a lot of challenges that we face as we look into this new year. And January 1st, what is January 1st? Well, it's New Year's Day. It's also the beginning of most people's New Year's resolutions. How many of you have a New Year's resolution that you launched in January 1st? I highly recommend that. I do a personal growth plan every year. And kind of, Lord, what do you want to do in my life that if I do these things, they're going to help me grow and develop me in my personal life, my spiritual life, my professional life, and in my relationships. And it's just a kind of encouraging thing to do. It's always fun at the end of the year and throughout the year to kind of look at those things. Last year, I launched something new that I'd never done before. I wanted to do 52 new things that I had never done, one a week. And I hit about 60 this past year, which was really exciting, a lot of new things. So someone said, what? Some of them were big and some of them were little. One of the little things I did was I tried okra, and who knew? I like okra now, you know? And I've never even touched okra because it just looked gross. And but I was sitting there thinking, hey, I didn't have anything new this week, so I was at a restaurant and tried okra, and now I'm ordering it on a regular basis, and fried, of course. And so everyone started their New Year's resolution. But this caught my attention. How many of you realize that January 10th, which is tomorrow, is National Quitters Day? This is a real thing. When I first heard this, I thought, that's a joke. And I started doing some research and come to find out that National Quitters Day is actually a real thing. So January 1st is New Year's Day, and January 1st is when everyone launches their New Year's resolution. And on January 10th, by tomorrow, 23 to 30% of people who launch their resolutions on January 1st will have quit by tomorrow. Is that not staggering? Like, that's not, you can't even use the word endurance or perseverance with that. I mean, Scott came to my office yesterday and told me he's thinking about giving up yoga, the 3 days a week that he had promised that he'd do yoga, right? And I was like, Scott, you can hold, it's only been 9 days, right? And so you can hang on at least a couple more weeks. By the end of January, that number jumps to 43%, and early into February, that number jumps to 80% of people who have begun their New Year's resolution, and they quit or they give up, which, while I was doing this research for this, how many of you realize that just around the corner, January 13th is National Rubber Ducky Day as well? One of my favorite holidays, the things I love to celebrate here at CMDA, and I'll be taking the day off for that as well. But it's all real. It's National Quitters Day. And the question I want to ask you is this, because you got to make a decision today about what's coming tomorrow. Will you quit or will you commit? Will you quit or will you commit? This is the message for today. Never give up. Never give up. I love this quote by Babe Ruth. He said, you just can't beat a person who won't give up. It was Vince Lombardi who said, winners never quit and quitters never win. I was thinking about, you know, Mike was talking about the Bonhoeffer movie the other day in chapel. And I've always been inspired by movies, real stories, real people who just wouldn't quit. And I remember when Cheryl and I went to see the Bonhoeffer movie, That was one of the things that I leaned over. He just wouldn't give up. He just kept on pursuing. And even though the outcome was really difficult, he's a champion of the faith, but he just wouldn't quit. There's a difference between quitters and committers. There's a big difference between quitters and committers. Quitters and committers represent two contrasting approaches to completing a challenge or a goal. The quitters, they're just saying, hey, nine or 10 days in, I'm just done. I'm ready to quit. And this is too hard, or I thought this would be a good idea, but this is painful and it's too much of a struggle. Committers, on the other hand, they fully dedicate themselves to their goals. They view challenges as growth opportunities. They persist through resistance with much willpower. They maintain a growth mindset, and that's something that's critically important if we're going to achieve our goals and accomplish the things that we've set out to do and to be with resilience facing some of these struggles that come our way. It's a growth mindset. They see setbacks as temporary learning experiences, and they keep on taking one step at a time. No matter how difficult it is, no matter how much they want to give up, no matter how much they want to give in, no matter how much they quit, they don't worry about how many steps that they have to take. They just take it one step at a time. And sometimes, even in the most difficult times, they just focus on taking one more step. But they're not quitters. The key difference lies in their mindset and approach to challenges. While quitters tend to give up when faced with difficulties, committers persevere. And one of the key words that you'll see for someone who's going to make it beyond tomorrow with their goals is they have perseverance, and they persevere with those goals. Committers are more likely to achieve their goals and experience personal development, whereas quitters may struggle to make progress and often feel embittered or discouraged. There are a lot of biblical examples of people or characters in the Bible who persevered. Let me just note a couple of them for you. While the Bible certainly records many stories of people who were just quitters, people like Demas, he abandoned, left and loved the things of the world. People like the rich young ruler was a quitter. when he saw what he had to give up to be a follower of Christ, he just realized he had too much wealth, he had too many things, and he quit, he abandoned, he walked away. There are others who provide powerful examples of those who persevered on through that. People like Noah, who built an ark for 120 years, despising the ridicule that he took for that. Abraham waited 25 years for the promised son. Moses waited 40 years in preparation to be the leader of Israel. Joseph endured slavery and imprisonment before rising to its power. David persisted through years of exile before becoming the king, and even being chased by his predecessor, Saul. Paul faced numerous hardships, yet continued his ministry through the difficulties. He persevered, and he pressed on. John Mark may be the poster child of someone who quit and then came back and got at it and went from being worthless to Paul to being worthwhile and becoming precious to Paul. I remember a point in my last ministry assignment where Cheryl and I were going through a very difficult time, and a lot of people just kept saying to us, just quit, like just walk away. In fact, one day, I'll never forget, the president of our denomination made an appointment, came to my office, and he said, Bert, how long are you going to put up with this? How long are you going to stick this out? He said, you've already been through some really, really difficult time, and it's admirable what you stuck it out, but how long are you going to stick with this? My kids would often say to me, Dad, why are you still here? And I remember saying to people when they asked me that question, you know, why haven't you left? Why haven't you quit? Why haven't you given in? Well, it's simple. I tell people I'm going to press on and persevere until the Lord says, you're out of here, right? Like God hadn't released me. God hadn't said, you can leave. And so no matter how difficult it was, no matter how wearing it was to my family, I knew that God had called me there. It wasn't a mistake that I had made that I went there. I could tell you stories after stories after stories how God confirmed that his direction in my life. And sometimes God will lead us to a task that is going to teach us, as you mentioned, I think Gene maybe mentioned the other day in church, Stan Key's Desert University. You know, the idea that we're out in the desert and we're going through something, and everything inside us and other people are saying, just quit. Just give in. It's okay. Give in. I remember during this period of my life, you know, if you use Spotify, at the end of the year, they always send you, like, these are your top songs for the year. And I kind of review those every year. I've got this year of my new songs that I loved listening to as I was driving down the road. But that year, my number one song was by Gold City, I'm Not Giving Up. I'm Not Giving Up. And I found tremendous encouragement in that song. It's not going to give up. I'm just going to keep on keeping on. Even though it's already been January 10th has come and gone, I'm not giving up. I'm going to keep on pressing on. Some scriptures that we can look at. Let's see, a lot of people who celebrate Quitter's Day, many times throughout the year. It's not just January 10th that they give up. Multiple times throughout the year, things get hard and they just quit. I wondered if we could just look at, just for a few minutes this morning, some scriptural guidelines, maybe some scriptural components of the committed. What are some things that the Bible says about people who are committed? They don't quit, they're committed to carrying on what God has called them to do. Let me just share a few of these with you this morning and then just a few thoughts that will wrap this up. Number one is the word courage. Courage is required for the committed. When you've made a commitment, when you've been called to do something, courage is incredibly important. It's one of the critical components of the committed, the people who follow through. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 1 to 8 in the NIV, it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Azariah, son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and he said to him, listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. This idea, just quit, right? If you quit, God's not going to continue on. For a long time, Israel was without a true God, without a priest to teach, and without the law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, and he was found by them. In those days, it was not safe to travel about, for all the inhabitants of the lands were in great turmoil. One nation was being crushed by another, and one city by another, because God was troubling them with every kind of distress. But as you know, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Azariah, son of Oded, the prophet, he took courage. He took courage. In the midst of the difficulty, in the midst when it felt like giving up, they took courage. Courage is one of the critical elements of the courageous and those who are committed to their cause. The second word is the word prayer. Luke 18, verse 1. And Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that men should always pray and not give up. How critical. You know the story, the parable of the persistent widow? Again, the answer to the problem of wanting to quit is persistence. Over and over again throughout the scripture, there's an element of persistence. But one of the critical things is prayer. We can't make it through these challenges and these days on January 9th where we're feeling like we want to give up and give in, and we can't make it to the 11th without persistence. And one of the critical things we've got to add to our spiritual disciplines is the idea of prayer. Well, so what's to happen? The widow went to the judge, he refused, but Jesus said, I tell you, because of her persistence, that unjust judge, he answered her request. Persistence in prayer pays off. Romans chapter 12, verses 11 and 12 says this, do not lack diligence in zeal. Be fervent in the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope and be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. Ephesians 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Perseverance in prayer is critical to making it beyond January 10th. Ephesians 6, 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance. Ian Bounds had emphasized the importance of persistence in prayer, and he said that Jesus taught that persistence is the essential element of prayer. Just, you cannot give up. Courage, prayer. How about the Spirit's power? You see, we accomplish more in the power of the Spirit. It's not by might nor by my power, but by my Spirit, the Scripture says, saith the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 through 4, verse 1, and we all who are unveiling faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So you've got the end of chapter 3 tying in this idea about the Spirit of the Lord, how critically important He is. And then chapter 4, verse 1, there's this therefore. Remember, the therefore is always there for a purpose. It's for God is a Spirit, and His Spirit is powerful. Chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, since we have this ministry because we were shown mercy, we do not give up. It's reliance on the Spirit of God, the Spirit's power, and reliance upon God's mercy, and we don't give up because we've received mercy. Romans 5, 3-5 says, and do not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance. How do we get persevere through these difficult times, through the tribulations that we go through? And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. How? By the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We got to think about courage today. We got to think about prayer. We got to think about the Spirit's power. We've got to think about daily renewal. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, same chapter, it goes on to say this, therefore, we do not give up. Even though our outward person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. What's part of the problem? Why do we want to give up on January 10th when we just started this new thing, resolution, on January 1st? Because often we're trying to go in the power of the flesh, not the power of the Spirit, and we're not taking the time to be renewed in our minds, in our hearts, and in the Spirit of God, and we just get tired. So it's not January 10th, literally, maybe you're not that quick, but you're ready to give up February, March, April on some commitments that you made to the Lord, some things that you wanted to do because you're wore out. We've not been renewing ourselves. Number 5, stand strong. Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5 says this, then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along also. I went up according to the revelation and presented them to the gospel. I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to those who recognized as leaders. I wanted to be sure I was not running or had running in vain, but not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised. And even though he was a Greek, this matter arose because some prophets, false prophets had inflicted our ranks to say on the freedom of those who are in Christ Jesus in order to be enslaved us. But we did not give up and submit to these people for even a moment. There's a couple of things that I think is interesting that Paul describes this in Galatians. We stood strong, and we didn't listen to people. How many times when you're thinking about, I don't need this. This is harder than I thought. This is more difficult. I want to give in. I want to give up. Do we often turn around to other people and say, what do you think? Should I keep doing this? Let me tell you, it's always good to get some wise counsel, but I'd be careful who you ask, because there would be many people who would be encouraging, oh, man, I wouldn't put up with that. I wouldn't do that. They have no idea what God's will is. They have no idea what God called you to do. They have no idea of the commitments that you made to God. And they're just saying, man, I wouldn't do that. Give it up. Quit. Didn't listen to these people for even a moment. And then lastly, I think about this idea of the harvest. I can't help but think about Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if what? If we do not give up. If we do not give up. You see, it's helpful to get a picture of what is lost if we give up and what is gained if we persevere. If we could just keep that in perspective, at that point where you're ready to go, I'm done. I'm not going to keep doing this. It's helpful to just gain, what about the harvest here? What about if I keep on this, a harvest that I'll reap that will be added to the kingdom of God, or if I walk away, what will be lost? That's why Paul said in Philippians 3, verses 13 to 15, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and preaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. Remember, it's about a mindset. The difference between the quitters and the committers is a mindset. Let's have this mind, the upward call. And any of you, maturity calls us to this kind of mindset. So I've thought about this idea of, remember when Jesus began his earthly ministry? This is like, as he's beginning to launch his earthly ministry, this is like the January 1, he's starting the new commission, his adult ministry, and the Spirit of God leads him out into the wilderness, and he has all these temptations where Satan comes at him. I thought this was rather significant, because if you look at the parable of the soils, the four different kinds of soils, it's the when people give up in that story, it's because the enemy is coming and snatching and taking away. And so it's not unusual, it's not really surprising that January 10th, a lot of people are ready to give up on the good things that they had committed to and the resolutions that they had made about what they were going to do that were going to bring value to your home, value to the workplace, value to your Christian faith. And the enemy's starting on January 1 trying to get you to give up on what you've been resolved to. Just understand that that's going to happen. But in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, and Luke chapter 4, 1 to 13, the story of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness is essentially the story of January 9th, where Satan was being tempted to give up, give in, and you will get something even better. If you give up all this, I'll give you this, which is the great lie of the enemy. He never comes through with things that are actually better than what God. There's no way. It's just not even possible. But he always promises you these kind of things like, hey, if you give this, I'll give you this. You'll have power. You'll have authority. He already had power. He had God's authority. He already had those types of things. You see, often the temptation of the day is to give up and to give in. And I'm convinced that there may be even some people in the sound of my voice who, like, you didn't even know tomorrow was Quitter's Day. But you're at that point. The enemy has been working overtime, tempting, challenging, inviting you to give up for something he's offered that's better. But let me tell you just quickly seven reasons that I think it's too soon to give up. Number one, because giving up encourages me to trust in my own understanding instead of the wisdom of God. Number two, because when I quit, I omit something precious that God desires to produce in me. Perseverance produces. Endurance equips. Because you can't, number three, you can't always see what God's doing behind the scenes. How many of you think that just about at that point of like, I'm ready to give up, I'm looking at things from a human point of view, and we have no idea what God's doing behind the scenes, and if we just stick with it, we might gain victory. Number four, because your time frame may not be the same as God's. How many of you ever thought that? Like, this is what I want. I mean, by January 9th, this is what I want God to have done, because I made a commitment on the 1st, and I like the microwave version of, like, what God can do in my life, and I made this resolution, and I'm, Lord, if you don't come through, I mean, I'm going to quit tomorrow. Number five, because quitting is unfitting unless God has released you. Quitting is unfitting unless God has released you. Number six, because you can't imagine what God will do if you just see this through. If you just see this through, you can't imagine. Begin to imagine what God's going to do in and through your life and how he'll get glory for what you're going through if you just see it through. And number seven, because failure to finish is failure to flourish in our faith. Failure to finish is failure to flourish in our faith. I came across this poem that I thought was exceptional. I've seen several poems like it, attributed to several different people, but this is the one by John Greenleaf Whittaker. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure comes about when he might have won had they just stuck it out. Don't give up, though, the pace, even if the pace seems slow. You may succeed with one more blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell just how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. For all the sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest are these: it might have been. So don't quit. I believe as I was preparing for this and sensing the Lord's direction to talk about this today, I felt like the Lord was saying that this is very specific for someone within the ministry of CMDA. Maybe it's someone who's here, maybe it's someone who's online or listening. This isn't just a topic that came up, and I fully anticipate someone's going to approach me at some point and say, that was for me. That was for me. And so I want to say to you today, don't quit. Don't give up. Press on. Persevere. Wait on God. Pray. Have courage. All those things we talked about. Rely on the Spirit of God and His power and His prayer. It was Charles Spurgeon who said this: the saints prove their conversion by their perseverance, and that perseverance comes from a continual supply of divine grace to their souls. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out before us. And the second verse is just as significant: looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Think about that. He persevered. He endured. And so thankful he did, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We win because he persevered. Because he persevered. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together today. Lord, as we approach this holiday tomorrow of January 10th, Quitter's Day, I pray, Lord, that you would give someone the courage today to persevere through a difficult situation, maybe a difficult relationship, difficult circumstance, things that haven't worked out quite the way that someone thought they would. Help us to keep our eyes on you, fix our eyes on you, and to trust in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.